PJ just alerted me just then. I don't know if you guys are aware, but they were fishing yesterday, and there was a lot of sirens going on. I wasn't aware what was happening, but apparently a young boy, 17-year-old, fell off the point and went missing, and he's still missing at the moment. So if we can keep that in our prayers, that will be very good. I think I can only imagine how that must feel for his family. So yeah, let's keep that in mind. We'll pray for him now, actually. Let's do that together. Lord, it's always sad when someone goes missing here on the West Coast, Lord, and we pray, Lord, for so many things, your spirit to be with the family, Lord. Please also help the people that are searching for this boy to find him, Lord, that he'll be found alive, and Lord, that his life will be intact, Lord, that this situation, although it's scary and a tough time, Lord, that you'll shine through and we'll see an awesome outcome. Yeah, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's keep praying for that during the week. Anyway, this morning I'm going to bring a message today about developing in our relationship with God. A couple of weeks ago, I spoke about the woman at the well and how it's a story and a picture of how God wants to enter into a relationship, a loving relationship with all people. And he welcomes us all into that relationship. And today I want to sort of go a step further and look at how we develop in that relationship with God. Okay, so the first question that I ask myself is, what does someone who is living in relationship with God look like? How do they act? What are their characteristics like? And I have a little passage I want to read to you from the Bible, Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 to 20. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Verse 16, you will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down, thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Okay, by their fruits you will know them. So a person in relationship with God, well, people in general are going to be a fruit. Some people might be a bad fruit. Some people might be a good fruit. This is like a tongue twister, eh? That was like a tongue twister reading that out. But we're all going to bear some sort of fruit, and a person living in relationship with God should generally bear good fruit. What is good fruit? Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Okay? So a person living in a relationship with God generally should show evidence of these kind of fruits, right? I'm sure you can probably think of a person that you know that is really really good at bearing this fruit. I had a little time where I thought about it, and for me, one of those people was my mum. She passed away last year, but she is someone, to me, who embodied these fruits. She was so gentle. She was patient with us kids. She was kind. She always taught us to be grateful. And for me, when I think of a person who embodies these fruits, I think of my mum and others. But you may be able to think of someone yourself. Similarly, you may be able to think of a person who displays bad fruit. Not that we should judge. But I think the challenge that we should ask ourselves is, what kind of fruit are we bearing? What kind of fruit are we currently bearing? And do we express these fruits that the fruits of the Spirit that we're encouraged to express? And it's a challenge for us to live this out daily, isn't it? I mean, have you ever found yourself just living life and then all of a sudden you'll have an outburst or you'll have a moment and you might get angry, you might get impatient, you might be ungrateful for a moment or two, and you carry on, and then you're sort of going and having your prayer time or your devotion time, and you think, man, that was really not very Christian of me. That was not really good fruit that just came out of me, you know? I always encourage myself in those moments, you know, sometimes fruit is seasonal. And there may be times when we struggle to bear fruit, but I think in general, if we're in relationship with God, if we're knowing him, we should be bearing fruit. We should be bearing these good fruit that we read about here in the Bible. And I've been in in church for a while, and I've been in discipleship groups or life groups or study groups where we've looked at the fruits of the Spirit, and we've sort of gone around and said, man, what do I want to work on? I want to work on a fruit. Maybe I want to be more joyful, so I'll try and be a bit more joyful or be more patient. And while this was good, I found myself thinking, man, this is kind of hard, you know, like, I know I want to be more joyful and more patient, but a lot of the time when I'd try and do that more, I'd just be aware of the fact that I wasn't so joyful sometimes, or, you know, aware of that I was trying and sometimes it wasn't working so well. So I just want to give us some keys on how we can look at developing this fruit. I want to read another chapter, keeping that in mind, Luke 6. 43. Now, I think this is just Luke's account of Jesus saying the same thing on the Sermon on the Mount. It's called A Tree and Its Fruit. Luke 6:43 says, "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. Oh, got me. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." So it's pretty similar to the Matthew account. But what is the focus there? Like I said, I was focusing on the fruit and trying to produce a certain fruit. But Jesus says the fruit is the product of the tree, right? If you look up in the Bible, in the dictionary, sorry, and you look up the word fruit, it says the fruit is a product of a tree. Okay, so in trying to focus on a fruit and making an awesome fruit, I think I was kind of missing the point. And the fact is that the fruit comes from the tree, right? So we want to grow the good fruit. We got to have the good tree. The Bible refers to us as trees in multiple places throughout the Word, and our lives are being like trees. We can be Psalm 1, planted by streams of living water. I think, you know, growing in God as a tree when we are soaking up Him. You know, so this idea leads me to wonder: how do I become a healthy tree? I want to produce good fruit. How do I stay healthy as a tree? Romans 11. Talks about us as Gentiles, non-Jews, being grafted in to Jesus, okay? So if we're thinking about us as a tree, I think the first point we got to know is that we are grafted in to Jesus. Let's read it, Romans 11:17. Though a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among others and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive root. So what that's talking about is kind of like what I said with the woman at the well. You know, when Jesus came, he wasn't just coming to see the Jews, God's people. He was coming to see all people. He wanted the Samaritans to come into his family. He wanted the whole world to come into his family. So this image of being grafted in, you know what that means? You can take a branch from a tree and you can, I think you cut away a bit of another tree and you can attach it, and if it's together, it will start to grow into that tree and the tree will become one, okay? They will grow together. So the Bible is saying that we are grafted in to Jesus, and keeping that image of the fruit and the tree in mind, the first step is to be connected to Him, okay? In relationship with Him. If we want to be a healthy tree, we need to be grafted into that root that is Jesus, that nourishing sap, like it says, okay? And then in John 15, Jesus uses the story of the vine and the branches. John 15, verse 5, he says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." So there's a major key. There's a major key in wanting to bear good fruit. Remain in me is what Jesus says. Okay, if we're going to bear fruit, we need to remain in Him. How do we remain in Jesus? Verse 9 of the same chapter, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in His love." Okay, so like we talked about with the woman at the well, Jesus, He wants to enter into a loving relationship, similar to like a marriage sort of is the way He wanted us to view it. He wanted to enter into that relationship with us, okay? Now, these verses tell us what it means to remain in His love. It says if we keep His commands, we remain in His love. And later on it says His command is to love one another. Now, often we interpret that, I think, as saying we need to obey his commands to remain in his love. Like there's a qualifier of the obedience of the commands. But like Ross shared about this a while ago at Te Uku, and commentators agree that the title is Remain in My Love. So it's not like we need to qualify ourselves to remain there. We've been brought in there by his love. And if we are obeying his commands, it is evidence that we are living with him, in relationship with him, yeah? So to help emphasize this, 1 John 4, this is an awesome passage. 1 John 4, verse 7, I'll just read this. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Verse 9, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Yeah, so if we are loving others, it is proof that his love is made complete in us. Yeah? Not the other way around. So the fruit of being connected to the vine that is Jesus is that we love one another. Yeah? Love, one of the fruits. And simply, I think we can sum all the fruits up kind of in under the bracket of love, right? Yeah? So we want to bear fruit. We got to remain in the vine. Yeah? We've got to remain in the love that is ours in accepting the gift of relationship of love that God gives. And as we do that, out of us flows obedience to God and love for others, these fruits that we speak of. I used the analogy last week, 2 weeks ago, of the lady who was married to the man who had the rules. I'll run through it quickly. There was a lady who was married to this man, and he said to her, "Hey, look, in order for you to show that you love me, I've just written a few things that I would like you to do in our marriage. So if you keep this list of things, you know, then I will know that you love me and we'll have a good marriage." Okay, and so she tried her best. She loved this guy and she was all right, and she tried her hardest to keep these rules. But she kept on failing and she just felt like she kept falling short and she wasn't really loving her husband, you know. And then one day her husband passed away and then eventually time went on and she remarried and she married another man and they just had a great relationship and things were awesome. One day she was tidying up and she found some old belongings. As she went through these belongings, she finds a list. She reads this list and she realizes that this is the list of rules that the first husband had for her to keep. And as she read through this list, to her surprise, she realized she was keeping these rules without trying to keep them. She had such a good relationship with this new husband. She felt so much love, so much care that she was doing, expressing her love toward him without having to do that, you know, to earn the love, you know what I mean? And that illustration, I think, is a good picture of how that works, our relationship with God. As we just get to know him, spend time with him, out of us come things that please him, yeah? So in this example, though, that the good things did come out of her in the second example, you know, she was pleasing her husband because of that love she felt. And I wanted to, you know, as I talk today about developing our relationship in God, I wanted us just to make sure that as we go into this next little section that we view it like that. You know, God in the woman at the well was sort of showing us that the relationship he wanted to have was that of a love connection and like a marriage sort of setup. So today, I want to talk about a couple of things that can help us to develop a relationship in God, keeping in mind that marriage kind of analogy, that we grow because of his love, okay? And that we need to stay connected to the vine, and that in doing so, we can bear fruit, yeah, for Jesus. So just a couple of things that I think can help us in growing this fruit and growing our relationship with God, staying connected to him. The first thing is time, okay? Now, it's essential to spend time with someone you want to get to know, right? You could think of it in terms of dating or being married to someone. I mean, you're not going to marry someone you don't know. You've got to spend time with them, get to know that person, you know, to have that relationship. Now, with God, I think there's not really a question that we need to be in the Word. We need to be spending time in the Word. We need to be spending time getting to know God's heart. Now, we shouldn't approach the Bible, the Word of God, as like a list of rules that we study to go to try and find out what we need to do to impress God. Rather, God reveals through the Scriptures stories of His love for us, the way His character, the way He interacts with people, and the way He wants people to interact with each other. So spending time in the Word is like spending time with our partner or our spouse, right? Now, sometimes that's not easy. Sometimes it takes commitment. When I was younger, I remember at uni age, I was at WinTech at the time. I was in a flat, had no girlfriend, no wife, kids, any of that. And I would wake up some mornings and have no class and think, I've got nothing to do here. And I would just pick up my Bible and read, put some worship on. And I could spend an hour, sometimes two, just reading my Bible, praying, spending time with God. And it was that easy, you know, like there was no one else around. I could just do that. And it was great. These days, I don't usually wake up just to the sunlight or whatever, you know. This morning I woke up, and our youngest, who's actually just falling asleep right now here, she came in and she needed a nappy change, and so it was like, okay, I'm not going to be able to pick my Bible up here and read for a couple of hours. You know, the kids are jumping on the bed wanting cuddles. One of them's gone and made a mess, so I need to clean that up. You know, it's quite different to the situation I was in when I was at university. So I've had to change my approach with my Bible time. And I think it's important not to get ourselves down about this, you know. Yes, we need to stay connected, but we need to find a way to do that. For me, currently, I was encouraged by a friend a while back who said that when he feeds his body, he feeds his soul. Meaning, when he gets up and has his breakfast, he has his Bible with him, and as he's eating and feeding himself, he's feeding himself with the Word of God. And for me, at this stage of my life, that's a really good practical way for me to do it. Because I'm a routine guy. I have 4 poached eggs every morning for breakfast. I give myself an hour. And I've got it pretty locked down, eh, dear? I'm a routine guy. It's just who I am. So I know that when I'm sitting down and eating my eggs, I'm reading the Word, okay? And the kids kind of know that. It's sort of just the way it is. And I can do that. It's manageable in life at the moment. Yeah? And it might not be the way you work, but what I'm trying to say is we need to be connected. We need to find a way to do that, right? Yeah. Similar, you know, with dating or, you know, spending time with your spouse. Nowadays with 3 kids, it's a little bit more difficult for us to do that. We can't just wander out the door like we're newlyweds and go to the movies. You know, you've got to sort of book in a babysitter. It costs you a bit of time. You've got to make things happen. But you've got to value it. The key thing is valuing the relationship, isn't it? And finding a time where you can spend that time. So that is what I would say is really important. If we're wanting to grow, bear fruit for God, we've got to spend time with Him. We've got to spend time staying connected to that vine. Yeah. I also think a major key in this time, under this time bracket, is spending time with other believers, other Christians, you know, and in a variety of ways. Awesome that we're all here today. This, I think, is so enriching as a Christian. I don't know what my life would be like without church, Sunday morning church, you know. I don't know. You know, this is, I find it so enriching for me as a person. And I also think, you know, other things like life groups, studying the Word. You know, like, if you're married to someone, you might, or dating, or in a relationship with anyone, you might have times where you have a bit of a fallout or an argument, or you don't understand what the person's doing, and it causes a bit of a, you know, a bit of a rift between you. And you need other people in that time, maybe that know your spouse or the person you're relating with, who can say, hey, maybe you've misunderstood this person. Maybe I can help you to reconnect, because I know you both, and I know what you're, you know, that this relationship is important, so I could help you in this. You know, and similar in our Christian walk, I think maybe sometimes we might read something in the Word or something might happen in our life and we think, what, God? Like, this isn't how you're supposed to be. I don't understand this. And if we're just to walk away and not have support, you know, it can sever that relationship and we can miss out. And so having other people around who can encourage us and say, hey, look, maybe you've misunderstood this, or maybe I'll just need to pray with you, encourage you, you know, some mediators to help us in our work. It's good to spend time with people. Okay, another thing that I think is really important in relationships is trust, right? We've probably heard it said that a good marriage is built on trust. And I think another key for staying connected with Jesus and God is trust, that we need to be able to trust him. And we need to know that he trusts us as well sometimes. Now, I'm using this marriage analogy quite a lot. It does have limitations, but here in this case, we need to be able to trust our spouses, all right? Now, sometimes it's hard for wives to trust their husbands when they say that they'll do that job that needs doing, right? My wife, you know, she might ask me to hang a picture or saw off a bit of wood or build a planter box or something. And I say I'll do it, and I mean I'll do that. And I'm like, yes, you can trust me, I'll do that. And sometimes it takes me a little while. But she can trust that I will do that. Now, sometimes what happens is that, you know, she gets a little impatient, and she might decide maybe she'll have a crack. Are you filming this? Uh-oh. She decides she might have a crack herself. And what happens, guys? What always happens? Usually something breaks, eh? Or they'll hurt themselves. Something goes wrong because they don't trust us. No, dear, you do. She does a great job of practical things around the house. To be honest, guys, we are sometimes just lazy. Sometimes we're just flat out lazy, eh? Yeah? No? Oh, it's just me. Sorry, dear, I'm a poor husband. No, sometimes we're just lazy, but so this analogy maybe isn't the greatest, but we need to know that when God is not like me, he is not like us men who say we'll do something and then we just put it off and put it off and put it off. You know, God is really trustworthy. When he says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. You know what I mean? And we need to be able to trust him that he will do that, even though, you know, at times we might not be around trustful people. But God is trustworthy, and there are a lot of stories in the Bible about how people who trusted God and what happened. One that I love, I want to just share this. You know David, David and Saul? You know when Saul was king and David was being pursued by Saul, and Saul was trying to kill him for poor reasons, you know, and David was really like, what are you doing? Two times Saul came into David's company, and David was encouraged by his army saying, you should kill him now. You know, he's here. The Lord's delivered him into your hands. And David, the first time, was in a cave. David, instead of killing Saul, he cut off the corner of Saul's robe, and Saul went away. The second story, which I just want to pick up on, was when David and a guy, Abishai, I think is how you say it, I'm not sure, went down to the camp where Saul was. They saw that he was camping there. They went into the camp. They saw Saul asleep, and Saul's spear was poked in the ground by his head, near his head, and Abishai says to Saul, look, like he's here, this guy who's trying to kill you is here, why don't we just take his life right now, get rid of him? And David says in verse 9 here of 1 Samuel 26, David says, don't destroy him, talking to Abishai. Who can lay a hand on the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? As surely as the Lord lives, he said, the Lord himself will strike him, or his time will come and he will die, or he will go into battle and perish. But the Lord forbid that I should lay a hand on the Lord's anointed. Now get the spear and water jug that are near his head and let's go. Okay, and to me, that shows trust, integrity, value. He's valuing his relationship with God more than the gains that he could get by taking that spear and ending Saul's life and coming king himself. He says, in God's time, it would happen. Yeah? And God did eventually make David king. He became one of the greatest kings and was described as a man after God's heart. You know, lots of us know about David, how awesome he was, and an inspiring man to aspire to be like. But he trusted God, even though he had the option of taking things into his own hands. I think that's a major key with growing in our relationship with God, being able to trust him. Okay. Another area is being humble. Now, this isn't easy, it's not easy to say sorry, is it, when you're wrong? It's not easy to apologize. Thinking of relationships as well, you know, it's not easy to say I'm sorry, I was wrong. But the truth is, none of us are right all the time, and more often than not, for me, my wife is right, and I've had to get used to that. I'm sorry, you were right, I was wrong. But similar with God. 2 Chronicles verse 7. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Yeah, we've got to be humble. We've got to be willing to admit that, you know, we're wrong. We need him to do things in our lives. Last little thing I want to talk about here is, when you want to have a good relationship with someone or with God, you've got to accept their love. Now, this is something that I've thought about a bit recently, and I've learned it through my marriage and through other relationships just in life, that it's one thing to receive a gift from someone. I mean, it's great when someone brings you something to show that they love you, but there's a real joy in bringing a gift to someone and having them accept it. It's a bit of a risk when you bring a gift to someone and you're not sure how they're going to react. So when that person responds and receives your gift, it speaks something. Because some people they won't accept your gifts. And I'll tell you about this experience I had. I was at uni again, same sort of stage of life, and I used to cook meals for myself, my motto was quantity, not quality. So I used to cook these massive meals, and I was in a flat, and one night I was cooking a meal, and it was like a stir-fry chicken, sweet and sour chicken or something like that, and I cooked a massive amount. I wasn't so good with actually estimating quantities, and this night I cooked so much food, and it was just me around, there was no one to share it with me. So I thought, I had nothing to do that night, none of my flatmates were around. I thought, surely there's some people in town that are hungry, and I was involved in a church that would do meals for the homeless once a week, and it wasn't that night, but I had all this food, and I thought, okay, I'm going to go and take this into town, and I'm going to give it to someone who needs food. I got spare, so I'll do it. Hopped in my car, went into town, and didn't take me long to find a guy who I knew was homeless, because I'd seen him at the meals that we ran as a church. And I went up to him and I said, "Hey, mate, I've got some extra food here left over from dinner. Do you want to have it?" And he's like, "Oh, all right. And well, what have you got?" And I opened it up, and he has a look in there, and he goes, "Oh, no, thanks, mate." and he says, "It's not really my scene." He's like, "Not really my scene." I was like, "No, thanks. It's not really my scene." Like, oh, imagine how I felt. I was kind of taken back. I was standing there on the side of the street in Hamilton City, and I was thinking, okay, I'm holding this food, and here's a homeless man who's just denied my cooking. maybe my motto of quantity, not quality, was pretty exclusive to me. So, needless to say, I was confused, a little bit, quite embarrassed, to be honest. And I just sort of, went back in my car and drove home. And the next day I had a great lunch. but I was rejected. My gift was rejected. I thought I was being so great, you know. I was like, man, this is awesome. I'm bringing warm food to this guy who's got nothing. And, oh, man, he didn't even want it. But the point of telling that story is, you know, he didn't accept my gift, and that was quite cutting, you know. But why didn't he accept it? Well, I think probably it was just that it looked horrible and smelt yuck by that stage. It was in a blue ice cream container. Like, come on, Marty, where's your presentation? But he could. Another thing, I don't think he could trust me. You know, I had long hair. Like, drove up in this bomb car. He probably thought I'd put laxatives all through it or poisoned it. I'm telling myself that anyway because it makes me feel a little bit better. That, look, he didn't know me. He didn't know my intention. He had no idea of who I was, and so he decided to reject my gift, you know. When somebody receives our gift, it shows quite a lot, I think. You know, if he was to receive my gift, it would show that, hey, he trusts that I'm coming here with good intent. I'm coming here, what I'm offering is something that he can trust, you know. He can receive it from me, knowing that I'm bringing it in love, and that accepting that gift, you know, it takes a little bit for him. It takes a little bit for us to receive a gift from another person. And so, you know, I think when we accept a gift from someone, it shows them that we accept them and we accept their gesture as well as the gift, you know. And in accepting gifts from others and accepting things from others, you know, I think that is an act of love as well that we shouldn't overlook. And it goes with humility, doesn't it? You know, sometimes we can be in a rough patch in our life. Someone can offer us some help, and we can say, no, I'm all right. I can do this, you know. I don't need your help. I'll be all right. And sometimes we think that's helping them out because we're not being a burden to them, you know. But at the same time, it's a relationship opportunity that could happen. It's a way we could build a relationship of love just by accepting that gift, you know. That's an opportunity missed if we reject it. I wonder if our culture in New Zealand is a little bit like, you know, I know we are. We're quite DIY. We're quite, you know, just leave me. I'm all right. I can do my own thing, you know. I don't need your help. But it's an easier, you know, when we all can be there for each other, when we can accept others' help, I think we can grow a lot. Our relationships can grow. We can flourish. And on the grandest scale, accepting God's love, you know, is enough sometimes. We think, God, I've got to give you, I've got to give you this, I've got to do this, I've got to keep these rules. But when we accept God's love, when we accept His grace, we're not just saying, okay, I'll accept your charity for my life. We're saying, I accept who you are. I accept your motivation for this gift. I understand that this is being given in love, and I receive it. Like, I'm thankful, you know? It's not like, you know, if we reject it, it's sort of, maybe, you know, it sort of severs that relationship, but an acceptance allows love, allows a connection. And sometimes I think we burden ourselves with that. You know, I want to bear fruit. I want to grow in God. I've got to do this for Him, you know. I've got to prove Him this or that. And He's saying, how do you get fruit in your life? Connect with Me. Stay connected to the vine, you know. Let Me be the nourishing sap that you need in your life to produce the fruit. Accepting that is awesome. You know, we're accepting Him. We're accepting His life. And that's what brings the fruit. So this morning, that's the crux of my message, is to just to accept, you know, accept His love, accept His care, and value their relationship. And as we do that, we will bear fruit. You know, it's not that we just accept it and we go our way and we go, oh, I don't need to do anything else. It's a relationship. It's like a marriage. We spend time. We need to be humble. You know, those things that I mentioned are keys of ways we can stay connected, but we need to ensure that we're valuing that connection, and the value of that relationship is what's producing the fruit. Okay? So that's kind of my message today, that let's be encouraged to be humble, to accept that love from God, and to, as we live our daily lives, to accept help from others, from one another, to live in community, and be humble, and let's grow and let's bear fruit. I really want to bear fruit for God, you know. I want to be one who exerts patience, kindness, gentleness, joy. You know, it's not easy, but when we're connected to the vine, I think, and yeah, it's life-changing and it's possible. So, yeah, why don't we stand? I'm going to leave it there. I'd like to pray for us this morning that God will help us in this. And, you know, you might be struggling.